Order at what time? 6:22. 6:20? No, it says 6:22 over there. Okay. The next item on our agenda is audience participation. We have a sign-up sheet for anyone who wishes to speak this evening. There's one individual on there. Are there going to be other members of the audience who would like to speak this evening? Would you like to sign up then? And if there's anyone else that would like to sign up to speak, you're welcome to sign the sheet. Thank you, sir.
Somebody else?
Yes, sir. Are you going to speak on a particular topic or? Or ask questions on a particular item? Or? This is not a public hearing. We would welcome people, give people the opportunity to make their comments felt. The proponents of the action item are not here this evening, so we won't have the opportunity to ask them questions. But Michael, would you be willing to take questions if the audience wishes to?
Yeah, certainly to some degree. I'll answer as many questions as you want me to, sir, but that's not really the format. But absolutely, yeah. Answer any questions I can.
Yeah, we're really not in a public hearing, so it's not the format, but If you have some questions, we'll be willing to take them as long as we're not here till midnight. So, okay, I'll get that sheet back. Joan, I think you wished to speak first, and if you would be kind enough to come forward, state your name and address for the record, we would appreciate it.
My name is Joan Clark. I live at 2187 Bayview Avenue. I am on the Blaine Parks and Cemetery Board. I just wanted to share with you the enthusiasm of Blaine citizens. I have been making a point to go to the Parks and Rec meetings just to kind of get a feel about things. And there's so many Blaine people that are coming and speaking. There's been staff from the school, just lots of young parents talking to that board about how important this is. And the two young gentlemen that are starting a seafood business down there that are just as anxious when the school people talk about trying to turn this playground into something educational. They do want to bring the school children down, especially with the dairy opening, because now they get on buses and take them all the way to Linden to their destination playground. And so they want to stay in Blaine. And I just wanted to make sure you knew that, because I did attend the meetings for the name change, and I was shocked at the people that got up and said Blaine was boring, there was nothing to do. I mean, they should retire. But then there's lots to do. But this is completely turned around. And there's also people coming to our Parks and Cemetery Board meetings with ideas. So I just wanted to share that with you so that you knew what was way out there. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Jerry. Now, those of you that wish to speak to the item on the resolution to, for the mid-year docket amendment, Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan? If you, you can speak now if you wish, or if you wish to wait until we've discussed that item and we'll give you an opportunity at that time to speak. So, what would... Okay. Okay. The next item is written communication. Sherry, do we have any written communication?
We received an email July 17th from Valeria Evans regarding the international concerts at Peace Arch State Park. Email dated July 20th from Kathy Richardson regarding July 4th. Email dated July 22nd from Donna Hankins regarding Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan. Email dated July 23rd from Dora Lee Booth regarding a ribbon cutting ceremony at the BP Heron Center. And an email dated July 25th from John Urich regarding a photo in the Northern Light.
Okay, thank you very much. Next item is the consent agenda. We're looking for approval of bills in the amount of $81,930.49 and approval of the council minutes for July the 14th, 2014. Entertain a motion.
Seconded.
Okay. Motion has been seconded. Any comments or questions regarding the consent agenda? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Next item on the agenda is our council action items. The first item is Ordinance 14-2857, the TOR annexation.
Mr. Mayor, council members, this is such a formality at this point in the process that I don't really even have a presentation for you, nor do I have a map, but if you do want to review some of that information, I can pull it up on the computer and we can take a look. The TOR annexation is about 15 acres of land at the northeast corner of Odell and Sweet Road, or Odell and Hughes. And we've been through a notice of intent, which is where the city council has an opportunity to say yes or no, we will think about this. And city council said yes, we will think about it. And then the proponent, Mr. Tour, pursued petitions from surrounding property owners, people involved with property in the annexation, and they have 100% participation, so all the property owners wish to be annexed to the city. We've sent a preliminary ordinance to the Boundary Review Board of Whatcom County, and they have done their notice period, which gives opponents, the county, and other parties that might be concerned about the annexation an opportunity to have a hearing in front of the Boundary Review Board, and that term has expired, and so no one has requested a hearing. There is basically no opposition. And at this point, this is really merely a formality. If you pass this ordinance tonight, Ordinance 14-2857, for the TOR annexation, the property will be annexed into the city upon basically action by council and signature by the mayor. And if you don't, it won't. But it's really, like I say, just a formality at this point. Any questions on any of that?
Hearing none. Okay. One question. Bonnie has a question.
Right, it's the most inclusive from the perspective of retail and commercial restaurants and things like that. There are some things that are precluded, like really heavy industry, but it's generally is the most inclusive. It's almost more of a commercial zone than a manufacturing zone.
Any other questions? Paul?
A few weeks ago, we rezoned from commercial B to commercial A by the equivalent of
the Totally Chocolate property, and so that would be the property south of the annexation area, and also property west of the annexation area on the other side of Odell Road.
So my question is, am I correct in remembering that was also commercial A, so it would be the same as what this piece we're talking about tonight is?
Yeah, three sides of the intersection will be subzone A if you annex it. Right now, it's, of course, one piece is in Whatcom County, so it's rural.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, the staff recommends that we pass a motion to adopt Ordinance 14-2857, annexing approximately 15 acres of property known as the Tor annexation to the City of Blaine and requiring said property be assessed a proportional share of the city's indebtedness and be zoned manufacturing subzone A. Anyone care to make a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Okay, the motion has been moved and seconded. Are there any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries 5-0. Next item on our agenda is Resolution 1646-14, the 2014 Mid-Year Docket Amendment, Resort Semiamo Master Plan Amendment. Michael, are you going to handle that?
Yeah, I'm not going to sit down. So this proposal, I think I'll give a little context for it first. Docketing is a process by which the City Council has an opportunity to essentially give the go-ahead for review or to say no thank you on proposals that come forward. Unlike most proposals that the city receives, comprehensive plan amendments have a sort of a preliminary cursory review. If someone comes in to do a subdivision of land or to even rezone, essentially there's not a docketing opportunity. It's a sort of a due process of law. If they want to do that, the city must consider it. With docketing a comprehensive plan amendment, because it's such a broad legislative action and it's such sort of a high level of review and not really directly related to on-the-ground activity so much, there's a docketing process, which basically means that twice a year, staff comes to you and says, these are the applications that we have received in their preliminary format, and do you wish to initiate these or not? And we have a two-time per year docketing opportunity. One is in the early part of the year in January. The second is in July, and sometimes rolls over to August. But in any case, we've just passed the June deadline and have one addition to the docket or potential addition to the docket. The other two items that are already on the docket, one is a multi-year action. It's the 2016 comprehensive plan update, which is required by the state. So it's basically a growth management activity where we'll be sort of reviewing things comprehensively citywide, looking at growth projections, traffic impacts, and some of those other things. And then the second item that is already on the docket for review this year, and by that I mean we are allowed to work on it, so staff can work on it, Planning Commission can hold hearings, is also related to Semiamu, as is the third item. And the item related to Semiamu that's already on the docket is the removal of the West Semiamu District and the Cannery Hill amendments to the Resort Semiamu Master Plan. You will no doubt remember those are the two really large development proposals, both that extend way out into the county, that were approved by the city and the county back in time, but since then they've expired in the county due to their laws. And that area has been removed from our growth area, so we can't even annex it to actualize those projects. So Planning Commission has actually recommended removing those from the comp plan. So we're reviewing that now with the Planning Commission. Actually just started some of the preliminary meetings. Public hearings will be coming up in the next couple of months. So the third item then is the one before you. And this one's not actually on the docket yet. It'll only be on the docket if you decide to do that tonight. And it is for a proposal to amend the comprehensive plan for the Resort Semiamu Master Plan on the tip of the spit. And I have just a couple of illustrations. We had a presentation a couple weeks ago. I kind of went through this in a preliminary way so you would know what people were talking about if you heard about it in the paper. I can go back over that and pull those up if you want. But what I'd like to do is just sort of summarize here and go through it. Essentially, the applicant, which is the current property owner, well, there's actually a combined applicant here. One is a company called Blue Ridge Semiahmoo LLC, and that's a potential buyer, as I understand it, of the property from D.B. Whatcom, Dennis Wise's company, who currently owns all the property highlighted here on these maps in sort of the darker green area. So Mr. Wise has authorized Blue Ridge to pursue the application for amendment. The property that's indicated in this proposal includes the Seagrass property, which is already approved for a planned unit development. The initial concept here would amend that PUD enough that it would actually require a new PUD. But potentially they may not go forward with that, and they may just decide to develop it as is currently approved. Currently it's approved for 68 units in a combination of everything from duplexes up to, I think the largest is a 12-plex, so like a stacked flats kind of building, much like Marin. So that's included, which is the land. When you leave the Whatcom County Park, as soon as you sort of come into the Semiahmoo development area at the end of the spit, that's Seagrass. Right now it's just a couple of roads and fields that have had some landscaping and trails developed in them. Then the land beyond that, going all the way out to the end of the spit, on the right-hand side of the road, is included in this application. So it's everything south, or it's almost east of Semiahmoo Parkway. It's the right-hand side of the road when you're driving out, including the extension of the road after the roundabout. So if you can imagine a road going all the way to the water at the tip of the spit, it's everything on the right. The first piece that you would come to as you pass Seagrass would be a destination spa resort of about 125 rooms, a total of about 220,000 square feet of commercial space. Most of that commercial space would be in the lobby and in the hotel rooms. The hotel rooms are business, so that's commercial space. And then there's about 70,000 square feet of lifestyle center, as they describe it, which would be, I assume, things like mud bathrooms and massage rooms and yoga rooms and all sorts of things where people would go for activities related to wellness and being pampered. Beyond that is a structured parking facility that would be, according to the preliminary plans, have a green roof and would be actually a public plaza open space on the roof, and would be a couple stories of parking that would become the existing marina's parking for that new spa facility, and also parking for some of the condominiums. The first group of condominiums were right next to that parking facility, and those are called Marina Terrace is the concept. It's stacked flats, so again, much like Marin, apartments or condos above each other. Then just beyond that, in an area they're calling Cannery Flats and Cannery Commons, they're proposing at this point two buildings, which on the ground floor would be commercial. Those would be boutiques, restaurants, and various shops and amenities for people visiting the resort and people who live out there and people just coming out for the day. And upstairs, in probably two additional floors, potentially a third additional floor, would be condominiums. And then there's also Cannery Commons, which is a large public park that gets created basically about the base of the water tower out to the tip of the spit towards the beach area that's there, between the piers. So all in all, what this does is reduces the number of housing units on Semiahmoo Spit by about 100 and increases the amount of commercial space substantially from about 60,000 square feet, which is permitted today, to approximately 220,000 square feet. It's kind of a swap of residential units for commercial space. The application describes the concept probably better than I just did, and you've had an opportunity to review that. The way that this would work is if you decide to dock it, then we would bring it forward through the full process. But the first thing that we would do is ask for supplemental information. This is not nearly enough information to review an application of this nature. It would require a CEPA checklist, which is an environmental review, and supplemental studies on things like traffic and probably wildlife, to name a few. And then, of course, a great deal more detail on the substance of what's being proposed. Although I will say that I only included the cover page of the Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan in your packet and a note that said there is additional information if you care to review it. They have already provided an edited draft of the Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan, which is available for anyone who'd like to look at that, that basically changes the paragraphs and the pages that they're interested in changing, but it doesn't have all of the drawings and illustrations and things yet. So developing that is a costly thing, and that's one of the reasons that we have this multi-step process, is so that you can say yay or nay as far as moving forward, and then the applicant can spend a large, the lion's share of the cost of developing the information that the city really needs to consider this application. So tonight's action is not an approval, and if you decide not to do it, it's not a denial. Someone can come back and reapply at any time, so that's a possibility. If you decide to docket it, what that means is you're basically giving me marching orders and saying, okay, Mr. Jones, go and review this. Take it through the process, public review, planning commission hearings, bring it back to city council, and then at that point you'll really have the information you need to make a decision. You don't today. You just have the general concept here of what's being proposed. As we move through the steps, we will determine does it or does it not appear to meet the criteria of approval, which will be your ultimate decision. So that was probably a lot to explain, really not a lot of pages here, but do you have any questions on that and what's being asked tonight with the resolution before you?
What kind of timeline are we looking at, Michael?
John's reminding me of something that we should have mentioned off from the start, which was that this is what was discussed in the executive session, a letter related to this topic. Timeline. In the best case scenario, we just might be completing this by the end of the year, but I also know that I like to take Thanksgiving off, and I know that sometimes we don't have... And I know that sometimes we don't have a quorum over the Christmas holidays for our planning commission, and I'm a little bit of a realist from the perspective of no one's probably going to come to a public hearing if we schedule it between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we try to make sure if we're doing that, we give people multiple days, like they can come to any of three meetings perhaps, because it's hard. It's just a challenging time of year. So trying to target the end of the year for this is unrealistic. I'm guessing probably February, so we're looking at something like 6 months. That's a deadline. The timeline looks more like complete application, environmental review, staff review, planning commission public hearing, planning commission recommendation, and then council. And you'd likely see that, I'm guessing, in February.
Another question. Would we, if we were to go through the process, would the SRA be involved and kept abreast of what was going on, or would they be?
Well, they're definitely kept abreast of what's going on. They're on our website automatic notification for anything posted by the Planning Commission or the City Council agendas. And I stay in pretty close contact with Debbie Smith and Sandy Bonickson related to items like this. Seagrass is, and these other properties are not within the SRA at this time. They could potentially become part of SRA, which would obviously be a much greater connection than otherwise, and they've already been engaged in getting the information, and we've been providing it to them. In fact, I think the proponent met with SRA board already to that degree. They're already engaged.
Now, all the residents of Blaine would be given an opportunity through the public hearing process to comment if we were to document, then it would be that process, and people would be given an opportunity.
That's right. Right from the get-go, people can provide information if they care to send letters into the record that is information for staff. But also, there would be opportunities through the environmental review process for people to comment on items that are relevant at that stage and then to come and speak or submit a letter, send an email to the Planning Commission through the public hearing process. So there is an ample opportunity for comment. Because this only relates to one person's property, it is quasi-judicial in nature, so it would probably not be an opportunity for a city council public hearing on this later. It's important for people to participate at the Planning Commission stage.
Questions? Mayor Dennis, go ahead.
So, Michael, what we really need to know is if we go ahead with this, this just allows the proponents to go ahead with providing you with more information on their plan.
Right. It really, all you're saying, if you do decide to do this, to docket this item, all you're really saying is, yes, submit us some more information, and we'll allow the city to consider this.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I know that at least a couple people were interested in speaking. Perhaps I'll sit down and we'll give them an opportunity.
Okay. Mr. Savage, would you... Yes. Would you like to come forward? Please be kind enough to state your name and address for the record, please.
All right.
William Savage, 9525 Siniamo Parkway in Blaine, Siniamo. I purchased one of the condos there at the Marin in 2012, October. And I just want to relate the concept of having another hotel come into that. So when I bought that, a month later, they closed the hotel. And I know I found out a lot more about the checkered history of the hotel as I looked back through, I guess, newspaper articles. And, of course, then we went through the process of that being closed, and we had our condo, and we were concerned about that. Then new owners took the management of that hotel over. And I think the key thing that struck me is from a very sad situation of having just bought a piece of property with that hotel being empty, and also looking back at some of the articles about the Marin being empty for so many years, it just led me to this thought. We now have an excellent management team in place, and I can't emphasize that enough. My business was management consulting, senior management consulting. This group is probably the top-notch group that I have ever encountered with hotels that I've either been in or associated with. Comparably, I'd say that the success of any venture, at least 50% of the success is the leadership, integrity, and the experience of the group that takes the endeavor on. So you've got a group that really is going to make this resort click, I think. It's got a checkered history, so I know the past would be against it looking into the future. But they're an excellent group, and I think that's something we should keep in mind as they are just launching after, I think they put about $11 million into renovations, got more they want to do. So they're just getting off the ground and struggling to get off the ground. This is just a bystander watching the hotel. I would not want this to be something that would undermine or deteriorate the success that they're going to have. And I think we all know what happens when you have empty buildings sitting around. I know when I first got here and I saw the Birch Bay market area, it just struck me. Somebody had a great idea. If you build it, they will come. That's not been my experience. Got to have more than that. So two things I'd like to leave you with. If this is something you want to go ahead with, most of my contacts on the spit say don't do it. But the two things that would concern me would be, let's give the owners today that has put their money and their reputation on it a chance. And number two, if you do select somebody, be sure they aren't in just to get the zoning change, get that land then in play so they can then flip it to somebody else. Be sure they have credentials and the kind of endeavor they're going to undertake. And it's a major endeavor. And second, do they have the leadership, and that would include the funding to make it happen. I think the funding part is probably the easiest one. It's getting the leadership that can do what the current hotel has done. And I've been to a lot of venues. I went to the Needle, and I was expecting just the typical tourist trap. Outstanding, good meal, good service, tremendous view, and that all, I think, speaks to what this group has done to take other venues and turn them around. I'm sure they're going to be a success here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Savage. Martin, do you have any questions? If you do, would you just state your name and address for the record, though, please?
Thank you. My name is Martin Cognac. 9525 Semiamu Parkway, Unit A304 in Blaine. I've had property here in Semiamu since 1986. Okay, I bought a boat slip, lived on the boat at the marina, bought a lot in the development, built a house, lived there 14 years, and then recently moved into the Marin. So I've just about enjoyed everything that Semiahmoo has to offer, from the marinas to the housing to the condos. And over the years, since 1986, I've seen this development, the inn specifically, operated, bought and sold numerous times. And I'm always wondering, what is the new owner going to do that is different from all these other previous owners? They all come in and they paint it, and they all come in and they put new carpeting. But what are they going to do to really make it successful that is different than all these previous owners that failed? So I'm sitting there thinking, well, they've never had enough business. And now all of a sudden we have another hotel with how many rooms? Right there next door. And I would think that'd be a very risky proposition for somebody. That's just my thoughts. The other item I was thinking about was, I hope that the proposed planner for this has talked with all the existing property owners and neighboring property owners, because if it looks like they're going to go from the road clear to the water, that involves a lot of the marina. Is there no place to park for the marina? There is the bathhouse facilities for the marina. And also, is there still a proposal to expand the marina from the current 300 slips to an additional 300 slips? So I just think there's issues there that really need to be considered strongly before the city allows another big competition to the inn, frankly, is the way I see it, when the inn has had a history of failure because they can't get enough business. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience that would like to come forward and speak? Okay. Hearing none, then we can approve or not approve resolution number 1646-14, initiating an additional comprehensive plan amendment by inclusion in the City of Blaine's 2014 comprehensive plan docket. So I'll ask the council how they would like to approach this.
Harry?
Yes, Dennis.
I think we should go ahead and approve, and since we will have an opportunity to see what's going to be going in, and if it's possible that it might not work down the road, then I think at that point you could take a look at it again. But I think the opportunity needs to be put forward for this group.
Yeah, I agree. The way I feel about it, I don't have enough information currently to not consider it. I have reservations. I know that we're not approving anything. That will come later. I think all the studies and all the public hearings will give us the information we need to make a logical decision. I just don't think we've got enough information currently to say yay or nay. So I'm going to support putting it on the docket and trust that our staff and the public will have an opportunity to develop the information required for us to make a sound decision. So with that, I'm going to support it.
I agree. I think we need to docket it so we can give Michael and his staff the ability to pursue it and see if it's worth going any farther.
Okay, would anyone care to make a resolution? Make a motion to pass the resolution?
Harry, I move that we approve resolution number 1646-14.
Is there a seconder?
I'll second it.
Okay. Are there any other comments or questions anyone wishes to make? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion will pass 5-0. And the next item on the agenda is commission, committee, and board reports. Clark is not here. Steve, do we have anything on the Blaine Tourism and Advisory Committee?
No report for Blaine Tourism. Economic Development Board is most public this time.
Okay, Bonnie, how about the Chamber of Commerce?
No report this time.
WTA Paul?
No report.
Hey, Dennis on the library?
They had a meeting last week. Couple of numbers for you. The Blaine Library has 4,059 cardholders, and the 34% of the users are from Birch Bay, 43% from the city, 13% from the county, and Custer's has 3%.
Yeah. Very interesting. Okay. How about the senior center?
Yesterday they had a memorial service for Maynard Gorzy, Gus's dad, and there must have been a couple of hundred people. It was very nicely done. And Saturday, August the 2nd, which is really important to the Icelanders, there's a breakfast at the senior center.
Is there going to be Icelandic food?
No, fortunately, you'll be not exposed.
Okay, very good. Normal food, then. Okay, Planning Commission, Mr. Jones.
No report from the Planning Commission, sir. In the Park and Cemetery, you've heard a lot about the upcoming items at the study session.
Small Cities Caucus, David, I don't know if we have anything to report.
We did have a meeting in Blaine recently. It was really more of a social meeting than a business meeting. I've got to say that everyone enjoyed their time at Cineama, who presented their boardroom for us to meet in.
Okay. And the Finance Committee.
We have a meeting scheduled for the 31st, this Thursday, at 1:30.
Okay, super. Whatcom Council of Governments, no report. North Whatcom Fire Update, Chief Hollander.
Council, I shared with you our monthly chief's report. I do apologize for a typo on the second line where it's addressed to the Blaine City Council followed by commissioners. I obviously take the commissioner report and readdress it to you, and made that mistake this morning. I apologize for that. Just a one little note there on Semiamu area for the month of June. There were no responses for aid or fire for the month of June.
That's a
positive thing. It also makes our response time amazingly fast.
We're really improving in that.
Some people are
particularly when there's none. Yeah.
Unless you have any other questions, that's all I've got.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it. Okay, next item on the agenda is Department Reports, Public Works. Mr. Public Works.
Good evening, Council. Mr. Mayor. So I'll give a little brief report on Raven's behalf. She's out tonight. Welsh Marine is a new contractor down on the Marine Drive, and they've had some concerns about allowing stormwater to get mixed up with some contaminated water, which winds up in our solid waste, our facility, our wastewater treatment facility. So we've been working with them along with the Department of Health to try to resolve those things. So we're working through a contract now to accept those materials, and we'll be coming back to the council later on with a more complete report on that. In case someone had asked you about that, we're working on that. Just a few project updates. Public Works storage building is up to bid. U Avenue overlay bid is out. That would be piggybacking with a contract that the city of Ferndale is using as well, so we're going to be able to double up on that overlay project, which also includes repaving the police parking lot. Vista Terra Phase 1 is going out to bid next week. That's the sewer contract. You probably have seen that the elevator modernization is almost done. It's usable, functional, and there's a few things that they're working on to finalize it, but that was a great project that really was done overnight. They worked 24 hours in a row, 2 or 3 days to get that thing accomplished, so we didn't have a disruption of the city operations. And the ESCO project is ramping up to start working at the wastewater treatment plant, which is a major part of that project. It's going along pretty well. I wanted to mention, too, that Bill Dodd is retiring. Of course, he was a former elected official and mayor for the city, and his last day of work is July 31st. So that's the end of Avon's report. Any questions I can answer or forward to her? Okay. Then while I'm up here, if you don't mind, I'll just go ahead and kind of roll into mine, then I'll leave everybody else to take care of theirs. We have the pavilion project coming forward. Councilman Lawrence and I, attended at least one meeting about a month ago. They have since been working hard to try to find funding to finish the project. One of the things that you'll be talking about, and we're going to present to you at the mid-year, is to revisit a $50,000 request that was made to the council a number of years ago that kind of went sideways when the economy went sideways. That project's back online. They've got most of the funding in place, and the last cornerstone of that is going to be a $50,000 request to come to the city council on August 11th. So it looks like that project is ready to go. They've got lots of interest and excitement back on the table, and should be a good project, and we're interested in looking at that. The Gateway parcel is still going forward. We have a meeting next week in Seattle with the, or in the first part of August, rather, with the consultant who's already agreed to do preliminary master planning at no charge, which is a big step for us, I think. I think it will turn out to be a project that might have the medical facility as the cornerstone piece of that development. So that's, stay tuned for that. We are finalizing the pay and comp study. We'll be talking more about that a little bit later today. And I want to just ask the clerk, we have training on Wednesday for Public Records Act as well as some other things that the council might be interested in.
That's correct. We have the Open Public Meetings Act training, and that will be at 11 o'clock on Wednesday up here in the council chambers. And then that's followed at 1 o'clock by the Public Records Act training, again, here in the city council chambers, and that will be provided by Canfield Solutions. And I think everybody here is signed up as well as Charlie.
All right. End of my report. Any questions or comments?
Thank you, Mr. City Manager. Jones, Community Development Services.
You know, regarding Bill Dodd, he's just about the happiest city employee I've ever seen. If you ever notice, he's constantly smiling. Now I know why. Because he's retiring. But I think that's great. The only thing I wanted to bring up was that we had our open house for the downtown design standards and zoning project that we're working on here in the city council chambers on July 17th. I hope that you saw some of the advertisement for that. We had a pretty good turnout, I would say. It was a beautiful, beautiful July afternoon / evening, and I'm surprised anyone came, honestly. But we had about 40, 45 people, I would say, that strolled through, and possibly more than that. It was hard to keep track because I was constantly engaged with conversation with people. We did get the word out through email, regular mail, handouts to business owners, and a Northern Light advertisement, and, of course, the city website information. So I think we managed to reach a pretty good distribution. I would say, though, unfortunately, in spite of mailing stuff to all the property owners and going around to all the business owners, most of the representation was from non-downtown property owners. That's unfortunate, but that's just the way that it worked out. There was a great Northern Light article that was in the most recent paper. Not just great because there was a picture of me, but it was a great Northern Light article. And I hope that will stimulate people to stay engaged and participate when we have our upcoming public hearing on August 14th. The feedback was positive and critical, so it was, you know, good spattering of both. But I think we got a lot of really good information to move forward, and the project is moving forward. It looks like it will bring some really interesting proposal that will come forward to you in a couple of months. Any questions on any of that and what's going on with that project?
Michael, did it involve any area outside of the downtown area?
No. Does the zoning proposal, or did the zoning proposal include
that? Well, the design and the height.
No, it's only the areas that are currently zoned Central Business Market and Central Business Transition.
The reason I asked, I was asked about heights along Peace Portal on the west side and also further south.
The Market District and the Transition District extend as far as Boblett. So where you define the line of where downtown is, it may be outside of downtown, but it's the Transition District extends as far as Boblett. And the current proposal that we're looking at and that we were receiving feedback on at that night would have increased the height limit for a portion of that from 36 to 48, and for another portion of that from 46 to 48, so just 2 feet, but another area by 12 feet. We did get a lot of feedback on that particular item. Anything else? Thank you.
Mr. Jones? Sherry, your city clerk, anything on?
Nothing further.
Okay. City manager, you're fine. Next item is calendars. We've got the finance committee on Thursday, 1:30. Next council meeting is August 11th. There will be a study session on the PSE service area agreement at 5 o'clock. Yeah, we do have that at 11. Okay. And then the next council meeting second meeting in August will be August the 25th. So, okay. Anybody can take a look at the rest of the items. Is there any unfinished business?
Harry, I've got one. As part of my job with the library, they have now out the Whatcom Reed's book for this year, and it's called The Boys in the Boat.
Yeah, for a lot
and
of good
if somebody's interested in it, I got a copy and it be used.
Yeah.
I read it.
I'd like to read it.
I don't want to write a book report.
Okay. I'd like to read it.
Yeah, it's in.
Okay. Any council new business? Okay. Now the next item is an executive session to discuss collective bargaining pursuant to the RCW 42:30:140 (A). So how long do we anticipate that to be?
30 minutes.
We will be breaking for an executive session that will last approximately 30 minutes, and we do not anticipate any council actions. Okay. So we'll be gone for 30 minutes. You're welcome to stay. Advise against it, but you're welcome to stay if you wish, and we'll be back in approximately 30 minutes.